any age. Immediate treatment can significantly reduce symptoms. Medication can lower risks, but there is no known cure. The ETs, however, seem to have found one. Case #099. Stroke. In 1981, retired elementary school teacher, Marie X, pseudonym, of Willamette Valley, Oregon, suffered a massive stroke which left her with highly impaired speech and an inability to focus on even the simplest mental tasks. Her son, Douglas, cared for her for 10 years until 1991, when Marie's symptoms inexplicably disappeared. At first, Douglas had no idea what happened to cause the miraculous healing, but he did notice a few strange details. First, both of Marie's pillowcases were so caked with blood that they had to be discarded. Second, the empty third bedroom had a very strong smell of ozone lingering in it. Unable to explain the improvement in his mother or the other strange details, Douglas was mystified. When his mother next visited the doctor, he was also puzzled and asked Douglas how Marie had recovered so quickly and completely. Douglas was unable to explain it. The answer to the mystery came about 6 months later, when Douglas had a dream in which he recalled everything that happened. In his dream, he was watching the David Letterman show as he normally did each evening. Suddenly the hall light came on. Thinking his mother had woken up and was wandering around, he went to check on her. She was still sound asleep in bed, so he turned off the hall light and returned to watch TV. Moments later, the light came on again. Douglas was about to get up when he saw something incredible. Out of the third bedroom, says Douglas, come a couple of creatures. They are overly lean and tall, of humanoid form, and they moved through the wooden door of Mom's bedroom without opening it. They come in and out of her bedroom for a period of what seems to be around 2 to 3 hours, but they always returned to the third bedroom as a kind of staging area. They were dressed in floor-length dark brown smocks and strange hats. They had egg-shaped black heads with no apparent features whatsoever. They glided across the floor as if floating, while carrying small grey-coloured boxes. They paid no attention to Douglas. That was the extent of his dream. Even though it was a dream, Douglas feels certain that it accurately portrayed the events of that strange night 6 months earlier. It certainly explained his mother's miraculous healing, and the accompanying physical evidence. Says Douglas, my mother had 6 full years of stroke-free life after that before another massive stroke placed her in a nursing home. Years earlier, in 1981, Douglas was cured of strep. 16, one of the most unusual and well-verified healing cases on record, occurred in Brazil, and involves the use of alien medicine. What makes this case unique is that samples of the alien medicine were saved for a chemical analysis, leading to some astonishing conclusions. Case #106. Cerebral aneurysm. In 1984, João Vist of Botucatu, Brazil, suffered a near-fatal cerebral aneurysm. He was rushed to the hospital and put on life support equipment. Unfortunately, the aneurysm was so severe that his brain was flooded with blood, destroying the nervous system. The pressure inside João's skull was so heavy that surgery was impossible. Doctors recommended removal of the life support equipment because there was nothing that modern medicine could do for him. One of Vist's close friends was João Valério, the hospital doorman, who also happened to be a UFO contactee. Valério had been taken on board alien craft on numerous occasions. He was given a tour of the solar system, predictions, physical artifacts, and was also permitted to take photographs of the UFOs and the aliens on their home planet. Valrio was well known for his contacts, so the doctors in the hospital asked Valrio if he would ask the aliens for some medicine. Valrio agreed and during his next contact, was given medicine by the ETs to give Weist. UFO investigator, Rodolfo R. Casalatu was one of the principal investigators of the case. Writes Casalatu, Joao, Valrio, obtained from the ETs a substance that after a simple analysis showed a very low fusion point. It melts at body temperature. The instructions were that the substance was to be rubbed into the foot sole, and something would form on that place and the residue from the brain, hemorrhage, would come out there. And that is exactly what happened, writes Casalatu, and Joao Weist started getting a little better. Sometime later, Joao Valrio brought another substance to be rubbed on the spinal column, and that is being done now. X-rays are showing now that a new nervous system is taking over the older one destroyed, new arteries, and the damaged organs are being encapsulated by new tissue, all shown in the X-rays. The doctors call it a miracle. I saw Joao Weist and he shook my hand and spoke some words and is getting better. This cure is not only well verified, but investigators managed to procure some of each batch of medicine for chemical analysis. Neither substance was identifiable. The report on the first batch of medicine says, the substance was in soft crystal form with the crystals about the size and color of raw sugar. The crystals had to be kept away from heat because they began to melt down at about 115 degrees Fahrenheit. When held in palms and rubbed together, they decomposed into a greasy substance that was then absorbed or evaporated away or both. The final result of the testing was that the substance was chemically unique. The second substance was never analyzed due to lack of funds. The second substance, which was applied to Weist's spinal column, was described as a dark irregular granular material from very fine up to 3 mm across. It was not in true crystalline form, as it lacked regularity, but looked more like it had been crushed, more like small shards. These pieces were semi-transparent, and of a dark reddish-brown color like shattered garnet stones. The full account of Valrio's contacts is told in Casalatu's book, UFO Abduction at Botucatu, published by the UFO Photo Archives. 17. The research of Brad Steiger has uncovered several instances of UFO healings. The following is one of his earlier cases. Case #115. Paralysis. Another case of a UFO-affected healing took place sometime in 1986 to a gentleman from Lane Jolla, California. As reported to researcher Brad Steiger, the main witness, Richard T., was wheelchair-bound due an undescribed condition. While enjoying an evening alone on a nearby beach, Richard T. was shocked to see a 100-foot-long, torpedo-shaped UFO hovering above him. The next thing he knew, he was put into a kind of trance. He then felt himself lifted up into the craft still in his wheelchair. Richard experienced no fear as he was examined by smallish humanoids with large heads and enormously large slanted eyes. The next thing he knew, he found himself seated in the front seat of his van with his wheelchair tucked away in the back. The most fantastic part of the whole experience, however, was the after effect. According to Steiger, amazingly, over the next few weeks, his condition began to reverse itself until he was finally able to walk again with the help of a cane. 18. AIDS, autoimmune deficiency syndrome, is caused by the HIV virus and can be sexually transmitted or by direct contact with bodily fluids such as blood or seminal fluids. While there is no known cure, treatments have become increasingly effective, and many people have survived with the disease for decades. This next case is one of two known cases in which a person was cured of AIDS. Case #118. AIDS. One evening in June of 1987, an anonymous 30-year-old AIDS patient from the Drôme region of France was driving along an isolated road when he came upon a round, glowing object hovering very close to the ground. The object emitted a bright beam of light and three short, human-like figures appeared. They were handsome-looking, with short dark hair and grey outfits. They spoke to the witness and invited him aboard their craft. The witness says that he was taken to a space station which housed more craft like the one he had arrived in. The witness says that the ETs proceeded to cure him of his AIDS and then returned him back to Earth. The case was investigated by French researcher Denise Brace of Project Bacassi. 19. This next case, from the files of MUFO, involves a man who was cured of what doctors told him was a permanent paralysis of his arm. It includes multiple eyewitnesses, missing time, and a healing that has yet to be explained. Case #119. Partial paralysis. On July the 10th, 1987, Rhys, pseudonym, was in a severe car accident. He was rushed to the hospital, and learned that he had three compression fractures in the back of his neck, causing paralysis in his right arm. The doctors told him the paralysis was permanent. He would never move his right arm again. 7 days following the incident, he was sent to his home in Hollowville, Georgia to recover. That evening, Rhys was lying in bed next to his wife. Sometime in the middle of the night, he woke up to see three huge white lights in a triangular formation hovering outside, directly over the home of his brother, who lived next door. The lights were silent and reminded Rhys of event lights. He woke up his wife and asked her, "Am I dreaming, or do you see those lights too?" "I see them," she said, looking out the large picture window. They stared at the lights in shock. "It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life," Rhys said. Strangely, the next thing Rhys and his wife knew, they were waking up and it was the next morning. Rhys turned to his wife and asked her if she remembered the lights. She did, but like Rhys, neither of them recalled going to sleep. They turned on the news and were amazed to discover that other people in their area had reported seeing UFOs. Rhys called his brother who lived next door and told him about the incident, and how the UFO had hovered directly above his house. His brother didn't see anything, but said that the house had noticeably vibrated, but he had passed it off as a dream. At some point in the days following the incident, the movement in Rhys's arm mysteriously returned. 3 months later, says Rhys, "I could move it and it has returned to 100%. Kinda makes me wonder if they did something to me." After seeing a movie about UFO abductions, Rhys realized that it may have happened to me, and he felt compelled to report his encounter. Says Rhys, "To this day that memory stands out in my mind like it happened yesterday." 20. While the Kotakti era of the 1950s seems to have faded away, the truth is that these types of cases continue to occur all across the world. The following is a typical Kotakti account with friendly ETs who take the witness on board their craft, and then to another planet. Case #121. Illness, undescribed. In August 1987, 45-year-old Victor, of Simferopol, Crimea, in Ukraine, decided to take a hike near northern Mount Demerdzedi. While hiking, he became tired and found a glade to rest. He fell asleep, and when he woke up, he discovered that it was now September. He had lost 1 month of time. Thankfully, his memory of the missing month came back to him. He recalled being struck by a beam of light which pulled him aboard an extraterrestrial ship. He was taken to a mothership and then to an alien base on another planet. While on their planet, Victor was given a very thorough medical and bioenergy examination. At the time, he was suffering from an undescribed chronic illness, for which his doctor had recommended surgery. Victor says that during his examination, the ETs healed him of his illness and also implanted something behind his right ear. They told him that they had changed the structure of his body, mind and nature. Following the experience, he found that he was able to communicate telepathically with the ETs, and was given a lot of information by them. 21. This next case, from respected South African investigator, Cynthia Hind, is one of very few healing cases to come from Africa. Despite this, it matches other cases coming from all across the planet. Case #128. Jaundice. On July the 19th, 1988, Diane and her daughter Phyllis, age 34, of Johannesburg, South Africa were driving to their home when a bright light descended over their car. They felt a presence in the car. Suddenly they saw a 5-foot-tall woman with a tan complexion. The woman guided them into the craft, introduced herself as Melela and said she meant no harm. Diane and Phyllis found themselves completely trusting and allowed Melela to put them on a table for examination and tests. There were several other people in the craft. Phyllis heard her mother gasp in pain during the examination and said, "You're not doing that to me. If there's trouble, we can't help you unless you allow," Melela replied. At the time of the incident, Diane suffered from hemolytic jaundice. The being asked, "What do your medical people call your condition?" Diane told the ETs about her jaundice, which she had since age 12. Writes Hind, "Since the abduction, her illness has apparently cleared up and she has never needed medical attention since she has been absolutely well. Prior to that, nobody had been able to find a cure for her condition." 22. The stroke healing cases are among the most astonishing of all UFO healing cases. In case after case, people whose ability to live a normal life after being ravaged by a stroke are transformed after being visited by ETs and cured. Case #143. Stroke. In the summer of 1989, Sergei K. of Kyiv, Ukraine, suffered a stroke which caused him to have problems speaking and also near total paralysis in his left hand. He was in the hospital, recovering, sitting by the window when he saw strange green lights approaching. The lights flickered, formed a semicircle and approached right up to the window. Sergei suddenly felt mesmerized and unable to control his body. When the lights reached him, a figure in a tight-fitting white suit appeared, a tall man with long blonde hair. The man waved his hand over Sergei several times, causing Sergei to become nauseous and hot. At this point, he lost consciousness. When Sergei awoke, the green lights were ascending from the balcony outside the window and moving away. Sergei felt healthy and energetic following his encounter. He rose up and discovered that he could move his left hand freely. He felt almost totally recuperated from the stroke, amazing his wife. 23. This next case comes from researcher, Virginia Erosso, and involves a witness who reports numerous cures at the hands of friendly greys. Case hash 151. Severe uterine cramping. Connie Isle of Sacramento, California had experienced a number of unusual events, but never attributed them to UFOs until 1989. Around that time, she began to be woken up by strange figures coming into her bedroom at night. Although she didn't realize it at first, she was encountering extraterrestrials. Says Isle, the ETs are not too pretty to look at, though. One being I see frequently has a hideous head. He hides behind a bright glow, and a long thin torso that moves like an insect's body. He reminds me of a praying mantis. This being seems to be an advisor or teacher, whereas the doctors are short little beings. Being examined or operated on by a human doctor is not exactly fun, so. Being examined or operated on by non-human doctors with big bald heads and big black eyes can be even more uncomfortable. Yet I have no complaints. For example, in 1989, I received an ET health checkup during which they injected me with a clear gel, similar to white grape jelly. I was informed that this was for my benefit, that this was for healing. There were also lights involved in the procedure. Isle reports that when she awoke the next morning, the jelly-like substance still clung to her skin and had to be washed off in the shower. Isle is convinced that ETs cured her of severe uterine cramping, a problem she had been suffering from for several weeks prior to the experience. Following the visitation, all symptoms disappeared. 24. According to the World Health Organization, about 800,000 people die by suicide each year. In the US, about 45,000 kill themselves annually, making it the 10th leading cause of death. Men are 3 times more likely than women to commit suicide. It is the 3rd leading cause of death between people age 15 to 24. The seriousness of this problem has only begun to receive the attention it deserves. The following case provides a poignant example of ETs intervening to prevent suicide. Case hash 182. Suicidal depression. In 1992, John, pseudonym, was living in Southern California and battling suicidal depression. On April the 10th of that year, he made a fateful decision. I drove to a location in the mountains to commit suicide. Around noon, John found an isolated area outside of Lake Isabella. When I got there, I got out of the vehicle and walked around it, looking around my surroundings to make sure nobody was watching. After about 15 minutes of making peace with it and saying goodbye, I was now ready. John held a 357 Magnum, loaded, with the trigger pulled back and ready to fire. I was no more than 10 seconds from pulling the trigger, John writes. I noticed something moving out of the corner of my eye. John became upset because he thought people were watching. He turned his head and saw 2 figures. Both stood facing me, writes John, one motionless and the other one leaning. Leaning just enough into my peripheral vision that I would see them. They were exactly like the small greys you see, like in the Roswell accident. John could barely believe his eyes. I saw them, 20 feet away from me. I even had a loaded gun and could have shot at them and probably hit them. But, when I noticed that I was not alone, it simply voided the suicide, and I left, which I thank them for really. As John drove away, he realized it was now 11:30 p.m. And there was a full moon. It was as if the moment the ETs appeared, darkness had already fallen. He had seen them only in the night time, which meant that there were about 10 hours which he could not remember. While the experience prevented him from committing suicide, it had other repercussions. It took years for me to actually accept what I saw with my own eyes. Now, however, John has accepted what he saw. There is no doubt whatsoever, 100%. Absolutely positive beyond any doubt that I saw them, 20 feet away from me. 25. We have already examined one case involving the cure of AIDS. The only other known case remains unverified and brief in details. If true, however, it shows once again the incredible ability of ETs to cure almost any disease. Case #183. AIDS. At the 1992 UFO abduction conference at MIT, researcher Yvonne Smith revealed a case in which a man appears to have been healed of AIDS. "I have an HIV-positive abductee who now tests negative," she says. I contacted Smith regarding the case and she graciously supplied further details. The gentleman had tested positive for the disease. And then, after experiencing a few abductions, tested negative. Smith asked for medical records, but the gentleman moved to the eastern coast of the United States, and she lost contact with him. The last time she saw him, however, he appeared to be in good health. Also of note, there is one case in which information was given about the disease. Contactee, Richard Rilke, was told that his alien friends were experimenting with introducing hydrogen peroxide into the body's system. Rilke has no idea how this is done, or what the effects might be. 26. Another top 10 killer of humans is the disease known as diabetes. A metabolic disorder, it can lead to a wide variety of serious health problems. Depending on type and severity, it can be treated with diet, exercise and medication. About 371 million people have the disease worldwide. According to the Center for Disease Control, it kills about 79,000 people annually in the United States. According to the World Health Organization, it kills about 1.5 million people each year worldwide. Case #191. Diabetes. In Tbilisi, Georgia, Russia, a young girl told her family that she had been contacted by friendly aliens who cured her of her disease. According to her account, she was awakened by an extraterrestrial named Boitarai who took her aboard a craft. On board, she met another ET named Order who put a respiratory type of device over her face. The aliens appeared human except their lips were very thin. They offered her a sweet drink, which she refused because of her diabetes. A third alien, Atarai, told her that she was now cured. The girl was given some mysterious stones which she was told to place in a glass of water, and to drink the water to assist in the cure. Following the experience, the girl visited her doctor who gave her a blood test and told her that she no longer had diabetes. 27. Most people who experience a UFO healing say it took place on board a UFO, or perhaps in their bedroom. Some say they were cured while driving, or walking outside. A small portion are visited in their hospital rooms. In this next, the witness was taken to a very unusual location. Case #208. Hypoglycemia. Jill Wheeler, a stay-at-home mom, lives in a small town in Nebraska. It was shortly after her third child was born that she began to suffer from an unexplained tiredness. Soon it got so bad that she was actually passing out several times a day. She went to the doctors, who ran a battery of tests. They tested her for diabetes, her blood cell and hormone levels and more. Nothing was wrong, they told her. Meanwhile, her condition deteriorated. She carried food and juice with her wherever she went. Still, she kept passing out. She began to lose weight and within a few months, lost 80 pounds. Repeat visits to the doctors still brought no answers. Researching on her own, she felt her symptoms most resembled a severe case of hypoglycemia. Her doctors insisted her blood sugar levels were normal. In 1995, Jill was walking through her living room when she suddenly found herself pulled mysteriously from her environment into a very strange place. Says Jill, it was like inside a domed stadium, that kind of roof. It was all white, and it had backlighting in there. The walls were all lit up and light was coming down from the ceiling, but you couldn't see the light fixtures. It was just all lit up. And it was huge, just humongous. All throughout the whole place, as far as I could see from where I was sitting, were cubicles, aisles and aisles of cubicles, like you'd find if you walked into a bank or a business. The cubicles were blue and appeared to be ordinary. The floor itself was carpeted with a tough industrial-type carpet, common in many business offices. Jill continued to look around her and try to orient herself. As she says, so I was sitting there and I began to notice what was in my immediate area. I was inside a cubicle and I was sitting on a long, steel table like you'd find in any doctor's office. I was wondering, what the heck am I doing here? What is this? She saw many other people in the place, each of them in their own cubicle. Suddenly Jill saw a strange figure approaching her. She opened her mouth and screamed. I thought that it was a human being, a very tall, very well-developed human being, until it got close enough for me to see its face. Then I knew it wasn't a human being. It had a cape on. It had on clothing that was tight. I can't remember the material, I just remember that I could definitely see its muscles through its clothing. It had a belt on. And as it got closer, I saw the face, and it was huge. Its forehead was way, way too high to have been a human being. And its hair was bright orange and sticking straight up about 2 inches. It was kind of like thin straw or wheat in texture. There was something about his chin too, it was way too big and way too broad. And that's when I realized, something was really, really wrong. And at that point I knew that it just wasn't human. The being stepped forward, and Jill automatically lay back on the table. The being then took off his cape and wrapped it tightly around her body. Suddenly, she was completely unable to move. For the first time she noticed a tray with several strange instruments on it. The tall being also held what looked like a doctor's bag. The being looked Jill directly in the eyes and said, "Okay, it's your turn now, Jill." Jill felt a cold chill. As she says, he didn't say it in a caring, kind, compassionate way. He didn't say it in a mean, cruel, evil way. He just said it like he was talking to a lab rat. The 9-foot-tall figure then took two small, silver-colored, bell-shaped objects and placed them inside the cape on Jill's body. He placed one underneath her right side, below her rib cage, near the pancreas and liver. Next he lifted her up slightly, and slid the other bell-shaped object underneath her left side, near the kidney and adrenal glands. Suddenly she felt a strange vibration or force coming from the bell-shaped objects and entering into her body. It felt like waves of energy were flowing into her body. This only made her more terrified and she screamed in abject fear. Although she wasn't religious, she thought about saying the Lord's Prayer, but she was too scared to even remember it. Instead she lay there, screaming with a kind of visceral fear that felt almost physical. She could hear herself screaming, but was powerless to stop it. Suddenly, she found herself standing in the middle of her living room. She was still terrified, but she was no longer screaming. She looked around her in shock. She was back. What had just happened? She felt her arms and legs. She was breathless and trembling, but otherwise all right. Oh, no, the kids. She ran into their bedrooms. They were all sound asleep. For several moments, she couldn't wake them. Finally, she woke her husband and told him what happened. He had no idea what to tell her. He had no explanation, and neither did Jill. The next few days passed quickly, and Jill was happy to put the strange experience behind her. The soreness in her side was slowly subsiding. Whatever had happened to her, it didn't appear to have left her permanently harmed. In fact, now that she thought about it, she was feeling better than she had in a long, long time. And looking back over the last few days, she had a sudden profound revelation. She hadn't gotten sick once. Normally, she would become so tired that she'd nearly pass out after each meal. However, ever since the experience, she hadn't lost consciousness once. After 10 days, the soreness in her body had completely healed. Her weight had stabilized and all traces of her hypoglycemia-like illness were gone. She had been healed, but by what aliens? Her mind raced with hundreds of unanswerable questions. Says Jill, at the end of that week, when I finally realized, what's going on here? I'm not getting sick anymore. I connected it to what had happened that night. And at that point I began to wonder, who was that? And why me? Why would they come and heal me? Over the next month or so I began to lose a little bit of the fear and get a great curiosity. They hadn't hurt me. They had fixed me. I still did not feel any warm, fuzzy feelings toward them because that's not the impression they gave me. I was a lab rat, that's what I felt like was to them. I don't know what I am to them. Why would they come and heal me like that? I don't know. I really have no idea, and I would like to know why. Jill would later have further encounters during which she was shown hybrid babies. The full account is told in my book, Inside UFOs. 28. In this next case, the witness was not taken on board a UFO, nor did he see any aliens. He did, however, have a close-up sighting that resulted in a profound healing both physically and emotionally. It's a good example of an encounter that at first seems to be a simple sighting, but turns out to have unforeseen consequences. In this case, positive. Case #217. Suicidal depression, body pains. As can be seen, UFO encounters are sometimes transformative experiences, leaving the witness profoundly changed in ways both spiritual and physical. Another such case took place in October 1997 to David Perez of West Covina, California. It was only a few weeks after the mass suicide in San Diego of 49 Heaven's Gate UFO cult members. Perez stepped out of his apartment to smoke a cigarette when he observed an unidentified craft hovering a few hundred feet away. Says Perez, it looked like a ship. All I saw at first were the lights all the way around it. I never saw lights like that around a helicopter or an airplane. As he watched, the object started to flash lights at him. Perez's cousin and girlfriend came outside and also observed the object, as did his neighbor. At one point, the object sent down a beam of light which apparently struck Perez. As he says, this red bright light went on, and it seemed like it kind of penetrated my pupils, and my vision turned red. Everything that I saw was tinted red. That's when I got kind of scared. I thought it had screwed up my vision. I couldn't talk, and I couldn't move or anything. I don't know if it was the fear or what, but I just couldn't move anything. A few minutes later, Perez had an argument with his girlfriend, got into his car and drove off. He reports that the object followed him from West Covina to Carga Park, where it suddenly appeared again over his car. A strange feeling of comfort passed over him and he realized that the encounter was affecting him physically. Says Perez, I was kind of stressed. I've always had problems with my back. I used to cough up blood once and a while. I was kind of sick. I had pains in my chest and on my side. Ever since that night, I haven't had any pain at all. And I was also suicidal. Ever since that night, I haven't been. I've been good. I've been feeling really good, really healthy. Perez also started to experience premonitions and developed an interest in meditation and psychic development. He believes that the UFO is responsible for his spiritual awakening. As he says, I kind of feel for some strange reason that they have something to do with God. Ever since then I've started talking about God. 29 About 200 cases of leprosy are reported each year in the United States. It can cause severe nerve damage and lead to scarring of the skin, loss of limbs and other health problems. Medicinal treatments are highly effective. Back in the 1980s, there were about 5 million known cases worldwide. Today it is believed to be a few hundred thousand, mostly in less industrialized countries. In this next case, a woman was cured of the disease. It's the only documented ET healing of leprosy. Case #218. Leprosy. As investigated by well-known Russian researcher, Marina Popovic in her book, UFOs Over Planet Earth, in 1997 Claradora IA and R. Slavsky, who was badly ill with leprosy, were vacationing on the east shore of Lake Baikal, Russia, when a UFO landed near them. Several human-appearing entities exited the craft and took Dora IA and Slavsky on board. They reportedly took the two friends to a planet in the Pleiades, cured Slavsky of his leprosy, and returned them home. 30. The following case, published here for the first time, involves a man who was not only healed, but was spiritually transformed by his experience. Case #234. Enlarged prostate. Dudley is a registered nurse, and a licensed chiropractor and massage therapist from the eastern United States. Says Dudley, my niece claims she was abducted at the age of 10, and had a tissue sample removed from her thigh. You can see an indentation where some tissue is missing. She said her abductors wore blue uniforms with a little insignia on their chests, and that some possessed the stereotypical small body with big eyes, but that others looked quite human, so much so, in fact, that they were indistinguishable from normal human beings. Dudley was amazed by his niece's revelation, particularly because he himself had been having strange experiences his entire life, some of which seemed paranormal, others which seemed UFO-related. It was one night in 1998, shortly after he retired, that he had his first unambiguously UFO-related experience. Says Dudley, I awoke to find myself bathed in a shaft of blue light that came down through the ceiling of my bedroom. Instead of converging toward the ceiling, the rays appeared to be parallel, which suggested that they either came down from a great height, or perhaps they were some type of laser beam. Dudley sat up in amazement. Although the strange beam of light shone directly on him, he could feel no effects. After less than a minute, it suddenly blinked off, and the room was plunged into darkness. Dudley was completely mystified. As he says, to this day I do not know the meaning of that experience. The possibility that the event was connected to UFOs did not escape him. In fact, it was the only theory that seemed to explain what had happened. What other kind of beam of light could come through a solid ceiling? A few years later, in June 2001, Dudley had another experience, this one involving an apparent healing. He had just retired to his own room. It was then that he had what he calls by far one of the most remarkable experiences of my life. Recently he had been having problems with his prostate, which caused him difficulties with urination. Although he was a nurse, he didn't think the situation was serious, and he just attributed it to an enlarged prostate, a common condition for men in their 70s. That evening, he fell asleep as normal. But sometime in the middle of the night, he woke up to find that he was no longer in his bedroom. Instead, he was in a darkened room, lying on a table. He struggled to reach full consciousness, but found that he was paralyzed and unable to cry out. Says Dudley, I gradually attained the level of consciousness that I was permitted and found myself looking at a small flickering light. The only source of illumination in the room that was about a foot away from my face and attached to the edge of a table upon which I was lying. I was in the same semi-prone position in which an osteopath had placed me many years ago when adjusting my tailbone. It's called the Sims position. Slowly I became aware of what seemed to be a slender probe that had been pushed up inside me and was gently vibrating against my prostate. I wondered what in the world was going on. And then it dawned upon me that I was receiving at the hands of aliens some kind of radiation therapy, presumably for prostate cancer. I do have prostate problems, but didn't know that cancer was one of them. The session lasted about 5 or 10 minutes. When it was over, I was, of course, tremendously grateful for this wonderful gift of grace, and repeatedly thanked the doctor who administered it to me. Because it was so dark, I could only barely see what he looked like. He was clothed in white. He was humanoid, but quite homely, almost misshapen in appearance. He may have been hybrid, part alien and part human. I heard him quite distinctly convey the message. It was a small tumor. I asked him his name, Dudley continues, but perceived immediately that he was reluctant to give it. Nevertheless, he seemed to convey the word, June. But then I thought, that can't be right. June is a woman's name. Then I drifted off into unconsciousness. When he awoke, Dudley instantly remembered what happened. Says Dudley, I felt different, as if, indeed, something had been done to me. Time proved his suspicions correct. His prostate problems began to subside. Over the next few weeks, they almost completely disappeared. While he still had some minor problems, his health was vastly improved from its former condition. He was, of course, astonished. The only conclusion that he could come to was that he, like his niece, had been abducted by aliens. He remembered an episode on Unsolved Mysteries in which a Florida woman reported a similar experience of being healed. Further research convinced him that many people are being abducted by aliens. Today, Dudley continues to enjoy his retirement. He has not had any other UFO-related experiences. Experiences, but he would like to. His interactions with the phenomenon have all been benevolent, and coupled with his strong Christian faith, Dudley feels safe and protected. As he says, "I find the whole subject of alien abductions to be a fascinating one, for there can be absolutely no question but that they not only occur, but as far as I am concerned, have occurred to me. I know that some people report having had terrible experiences at the hands of aliens. Personally, I am not too concerned about that type of experience happening to me. As a born-again Christian, it is my belief that no harm or evil can befall me except that which my Lord, in his infinite love and mercy, allows. Therefore, I expect not only good things from aliens, because they will definitely have to answer to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not to mention the universal law of karma, sowing and reaping, for their treatment of me. I know it, and just as importantly, so do they." 31. The following case involves a lady who not only received a cure from grey aliens for a life-threatening condition, they provided her with follow-up visits and medical advice. Case #232. Blood clot. Gloria, pseudonym, was somewhat familiar with greys as she had encountered them in her dreams many times, and in a few cases, she had seen them face to face. In 2000, date approx. Gloria was taking an 11-hour flight back to the USA. She stayed in her seat most of the flight and didn't drink enough fluids. For whatever reason, upon returning home, she developed a blood clot. "I knew it was a blood clot because my inner right calf was hard and felt crunchy to the touch," says Gloria. "I freaked out, of course, but I had no insurance at the time. I just gave it to God because I did not have money to see a doctor. It was then that the greys began to telepathically communicate with her. They told me to drink massive amounts of fluids, wear tight stockings, move a lot. It was too late, I thought, because my whole right inner vein in my calf was solidified. I could feel it crunch when I pushed it." After a month of this, one evening Gloria experienced heart pain. Then something happened. "I don't know what happened," Gloria says. "I felt better. I remembered during this time, I was sleeping and I felt my blankets being stripped from my body and being moved somewhere, and that was it. I don't know what happened, but it felt good. I felt my leg afterward and the clot was gone and my heart was doing well." Following the incident, Gloria experienced frequent visits by the greys. "I think they just wanted to make sure I was okay. I have no complaints. They did a better job than most doctors." 5 years later, the visits have pretty much stopped, though Gloria continues to enjoy good health. "I believe I am alive today because of my encounters with grey beings. I have insurance today and went to the doctor recently. Healthy as can be," he said. "He did a complete physical and I am totally healthy. I have records to prove it. All I can say is, thank you God for the grey beings. I am on an extension of my life. Why they saved me is unknown to me. But I am eternally grateful for their existence on this earth." Prior to the incident, Gloria reports being frustrated and unhappy. She struggled with a bout of homelessness and had little money. Following the incident, she feels that her life has purpose and meaning. "I thank God and the grey aliens for saving me and giving me hope," she says. "I know the grey aliens are probably still observing me. I am hoping that they will continue to do good for others too. I feel blessed. God created all of his creations for a purpose." 32. The following remarkable case involves a man who was healed, but failed to follow the ET's medical advice, leading to disastrous consequences. Case #235. Atrophied legs. On October 11, 2001, a large UFO wave struck the regions of Krasnodar, Stavropol, Rostov, Volgograd, Saratov and Samara in Russia. At that time, a businessman named Oleg was working on his cabin in a village in a sea in Novgorod province. Suddenly he received a call from the local security guards saying that a UFO was hovering over his home. Oleg looked outside and saw a large glowing object. Moments later, several human-looking uniformed figures appeared in his home. The figures spoke telepathically, saying that they were there to solve certain technical problems, and that he should remain quiet and not interfere. For 3 days the aliens remained in his home. They took over a room and used it to repair strange equipment which they would not let him see. After 3 days, they told him they were almost done and would soon be leaving. Oleg said, "If you have great ability, can you help me, please? As you can see, I am an invalid. Can you cure my legs?" Oleg suffered from a disease which had left his legs atrophied. The aliens said they would cure him, but he would have to run every day or his entire organism would degrade. He would also have to keep the healing a secret. Oleg agreed. The ETs proceeded to perform some type of surgery. They then scanned him with a strange device and told him, "Now you do not only have normal legs, but very strong legs." Oleg reports that he was healed and for several days was euphoric. But then he became afraid that the aliens might return and he reported his experience to UFO researchers. Word leaked out about his encounters, causing conflict with his neighbors. Oleg reportedly became depressed, forgot to exercise, and again lost the ability to use his legs. As the ETs had warned him, Oleg's health began to fail. He died in January 2004, less than 3 years after his initial encounter. 33. Another case involving the cure of muscular dystrophy involves one of the rarest methods used by ETs, medicine. And yet, the cure appears to have been effective. Case #309. Muscular dystrophy. Morsi, Arizona has attracted a number of low-level UFO sightings, perhaps because of the copper mines and plants in the area. According to the UFOCI, a man in Morsi experienced an onboard encounter with ETs in 2007, date approx. He told the ETs that he had a son suffering from muscular dystrophy and asked if they could heal him. The ETs agreed and gave the witness 5 clear vials of liquid, and told the man to inject his son in the navel 1 time each day for 5 days and then his son would be cured. Reportedly, the UFO researcher looking into the case was able to examine the vials and said that they appeared to be composed of plastic or crystal and that each one had a vial within a vial. 34. A wonderfully sincere and vivid account of the healing of a serious medical condition comes from an outstanding witness who is working hard for the benefit of all humanity. The case is a perfect illustration of who is being healed, and why. Case #271. Blood clot. Born in 1955, Reverend Michael J. Carter had his first encounter with ETs on December 28, 1989. He was 34 years old and living with his girlfriend in an apartment in Manhattan, New York. He woke to see a gray alien next to his bed. The being was chalk white, had a pear-shaped head, had a tight-fitting jumpsuit that looked like aluminum foil, had the wrap-around eyes, a spindly-looking gentleman. The encounter terrified Carter. He became even more concerned when the bedroom encounters continued. Realizing he was having ET encounters, he sought help and went under regressive hypnosis with Drive. Gene Moody. Carter was able to recall being taken on board a ship. He found himself in a round room with no corners and indirect lighting. The temperature was cool, and reminded Carter of being in a doctor's office almost, when you go for an exam. Thankfully, his experiences slowed down and stopped. Then in 2013, while living in Asheville, North Carolina, his right leg became suddenly painful and swollen. Over 3 days, his condition worsened. Carter went to the hospital and was diagnosed with a severe blood clot in his right leg. The doctor prescribed a months-long treatment using blood-thinning medication, and ordered Carter to return weekly for close observation. Carter's leg was swollen to twice its normal size. On the evening of July the 4th, 2013, he lay on his back in bed unable to sleep. Suddenly a human-looking figure appeared at the foot of his bed. He was very big and muscular, says Carter. He wore one of those cowls that monks wore back in Renaissance times. He had long blonde hair, shoulder length, and he was pale. I was just stunned. And he put out his hand, I think it was his right, and this blue light came out of his palm, energy or whatever it was, and it hit me. And I saw it hit me, but I didn't feel anything. And then he just dissolved. Carter was amazed. The figure was 7 feet tall, wore a gray robe and glowed with a white aura. The entire experience lasted only seconds. Afterward, he grabbed his bedside journal and wrote down what happened. The next morning, he was excited to tell his family what happened. I put my legs down on the floor to get out of bed, says Carter. And I looked, and my legs were the same size, the right was the same size as the left. And not only was it the same size, but the veins in my leg looked like they had changed position, like they had been rerouted or something, that's the best way I can put it. A few days later, Carter returned to his doctor for a routine checkup. The doctor was shocked and asked him, "How did this happen? You were just here." Carter declined to tell the doctor about the bedroom visitation and said, "Just be happy for me." 2 weeks later, while meditating, Carter saw the same figure again, and another a woman. Both figures were strong, muscular looking with long blonde hair. Carter feels that they were checking up on him, and letting him know that they were around him. Carter feels that his experiences have given him a strong boost in his intuitive and healing abilities and accelerated his spiritual growth. He is now the author of several books about UFOs and religion. He's a speaker, a healer, and a human rights activist. He was recognized by President Clinton for his efforts in community outreach and anti-racism. 35. While a UFO healing is undeniably a positive thing, many witnesses are understandably upset by the experience. Having your body operated upon by alien beings, without warning or having given permission, makes experiencers realize just how vulnerable they are to alien intrusion. In the following case, a medical professional received a profound healing. Unfortunately, the cure was temporary and ended up causing severe trauma in the witness's life. Case #280. Gallbladder. Marla, pseudonym, and her family had seen UFOs many times outside their home in Morrisville, Washington. In January 2015, Marla had gone to bed when she heard someone banging around in the kitchen. She assumed her oldest daughter was cooking and thought nothing of it. But as she lay back down, events became very strange. Suddenly, she says, I heard a loud, high-pitched ring. It was disorienting. My bedroom door opened, and I saw three beings walk into my room. I couldn't make out what they looked like. Light bathed behind them, so they looked dark, and it was hard to make out the detail. The figures were short, stout, with large heads and a short neck. As soon as I saw them, I sat up and tried to speak. They walked to the foot of my bed. And then one touched my foot and bam, I was out like a light. Marla woke up the next morning to one of the most shocking sights of her life. Marla worked in the medical field and was familiar with surgery and surgical procedures. At the time of her visitation, she was suffering kidney disease and gallstones. She was due to have surgery to remove the gallbladder in 1 week. The next day, the very moment I woke up, I exhaled what tasted like gas, Marla explains. It was a familiar feeling and tasted like I had just woken up from surgery and had been put to sleep with anesthesia. I was groggy, so I tried to sit up in bed and felt a sharp pain in my abdominal area. I looked under my shirt and I indeed had an incision. This was like no incision I had seen before. First, it was very straight as an arrow, and was very clean. The skin looked void of blood at the incision. Second, no Bidodi or other substances were used to prep a patient's skin to prevent infections. Third, it was glued together, no sticks or staples. Not only did it not have any dried blood or cautery marks, but most of all, the odd thing was, it could be pulled apart and still no blood. And when you let go, it sealed right back together until you pulled it apart again. Marla freaked out. She opened the incision 2 inches deep, but became frightened and closed it back up again. She showed it to her family, who were equally baffled and alarmed. At the time of the incident, everyone had been in bed, though a few of them had also heard the banging in the kitchen. They inspected the kitchen, but nothing had been disturbed. Marla told nobody but her family what happened. As someone who worked in nursing and surgery for years, I knew I couldn't talk to my doctor about it without being labeled crazy. The surprises were still coming, says Marla. A few days after this happened, the incision rapidly healed, far faster than any I have had before. Most of the time my incisions took well over a month to heal due to my bad kidney disease. 1 week before the incident, Marla was scheduled to have another pre-surgery ultrasound and exam for her gallbladder removal surgery. By this time, the mysterious incision on her abdomen was gone. She went to the doctors to get her ultrasound. When they did the ultrasound, the stone that was as large as my gallbladder was completely gone. This stone I had was far too large for me to pass, and it had to be removed along with my gallbladder. But when I got the ultrasound, the stone was gone, yet my gallbladder remained. This baffled the doctors. A gallstone surgery has to include removing the gallbladder. Yet mine was intact, Song Stone. Marla has no idea why this happened to her, and unfortunately, the ultimate results were not good. 1 year following the incident, she had a new, larger gallstone and had to have it surgically removed. While she believes the aliens healed her, it was only temporary. This event changed my life, in a bad way, Marla says. Even though I am thankful to whoever helped heal my body from a bad stone, it scares me that I have no idea who it was, or why they took me to do such a thing. This has made me fear who could remove me from my home, perform a surgery on me, and put me back without anyone else being the wiser. Also, to not know who did this to me, our own government, or some non-human, has made it quite hard on me. I want answers yet have no way to ever find out who did this. Marla began to suffer from anxieties, and was afraid to reach out for support from the medical community for fear of being labeled deluded. Luckily, her family was very supportive. Then, a few months later, in the summer of 2015, it happened again. On this occasion, Marla woke up to find a clean, precise surgical scar across her sternum area. As before, it healed very rapidly. I still have both scars, Marla says. I need answers. But most of all, I want people to know that life is not exactly what we think it is when someone else can remove you from your home, and you have no memory of what happened, no power to stop it. It's scary, yet I know people need to know it does happen. Marla finally reached out to MUFO to report her experience. I am willing to provide medical records and proof of my gallstone being there and disappearing. I also would do a polygraph to prove I am being honest. 36. The following three cases, each from the free study, are undated, not fully investigated, and sparse on detail. Yet each provide more evidence of the ET's healing agenda on our planet. Case #304. Hypertesio, detached retina, leg problem. A lady who was experiencing regular encounters. Encounters asked the ETs to heal her husband, who was suffering from severe hypertesio. The ETs abducted her husband and examined him using computer-like equipment. Following the encounter, her husband's high blood pressure was cured and remained normal. Now age 73, he has the blood pressure of a young man. The ETs also used the opportunity to heal him of a detached retina and a crooked leg. 37. Case #305. Appendicitis. One of my sisters was ill. She would get sick and in pain. Later we found out that her appendix was removed, but she never had surgery to remove her appendix. 38. Case #306. Suicidal depression. I believe the contact experience was healing me. I had been seeing a psychologist about suicidal thoughts, but after contact, I didn't have suicidal thoughts anymore. 39. How many UFO healing cases need to be listed before these types of cases are taken more seriously? An objective review of the data from the above cases alone should be enough to convince even the most die-hard skeptic of their validity. If people are truly being cured of strokes, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, tuberculosis, multiple sclerosis, AIDS, polio, diphtheria and so much more, and this is what the evidence is showing us, then the importance of these cases cannot be overstated. If we could learn to understand and apply the methods used by the ETs, it could lead to a revolution in the medical field, saving untold millions of people from a wide variety of health problems, including death. Chapter 23, Cancer Cures. This next chapter focuses solely on cases of people who have been cured of cancer as the result of a UFO encounter. Of all the reported disease cures, with 40 cases, cancer is by far the most common. A wide variety of cancer cures are reported, involving numerous organ systems. No matter what the condition, each healing provides compelling medical evidence pointing toward the veracity of a case. The cancer cases, unlike other healings, however, seem to provide far more evidence. As with serious and chronic illnesses, the healings of cancer cannot be faked. When a person is taken from the edge of death to a miraculous recovery, and can point to the reason for it, what other conclusion is there? The huge number of cases, the excellent credibility of many of the witnesses, the before and after diagnoses provided by doctors, the multiple eyewitnesses, all of these add up to build a convincing case for the truth of these cases. If these people aren't being healed by aliens, then what exactly is happening here? Many close encounter reports come with little or no evidence whatsoever. Many people experience profound onboard experiences, and have no way to prove it to anyone. The healing cases provide this proof, and of all the healing cases, the cancer healings are among the best evidence that UFO healings are a real phenomenon, one that is likely affecting far more people than the few hundred portrayed in this book. The first cancer healing we shall examine appeared in the first article ever written on this subject. It is one of very few cases involving entities that are non-humanoid. Case #012. Cancer. In July 1951, Fred Reagan of Atlanta, Georgia, was piloting a Piper Cub when he collided with a glowing unidentified flying object. Reagan was badly injured. His plane was also severely damaged and began to tumble downward. Reagan, however, felt himself being sucked upward by a strange force. He found himself inside the UFO surrounded by 3-foot-tall shiny figures with the appearance of huge stalks of metallic asparagus. The beings spoke to him in English, and apologized for colliding with his craft. On board the craft, they gave him a medical examination and told him that he had cancer. They then proceeded to perform an operation to remove the cancer as a slight reparation of the loss that we have caused you. Reagan lost consciousness. When he awoke, he was unhurt, lying in a farmer's field next to his destroyed plane. The case ends 1 year later with the following press release. Fred Reagan, who made headlines last year when he had been a visitor aboard a flying saucer, died today in the state asylum for the insane. Cause of death was determined to be degeneration of the brain tissue due to extreme atomic radiation. Authorities are unable to offer an explanation. Gordon Creato published this report in the 1969 issue of Flying Saucer Review in the first article about UFO healings. The report was first uncovered by FSR editor Derek Dempster in 1956, but was not published at that time. Creato believes the fantastic nature of the report prevented its initial publication. He tried to verify the report, however, as he says, "Despite years of trying, I have failed to find anyone who can or will throw any light upon the story for me, or authenticate it. It may be untrue, but I do not think that it is. It contains far too many elements which, in this summer of 1969, seem to me to possess the ring of truth, but which very understandably may not have seemed to possess it in 1951. In his article, Creato wrote that he withheld details of the story, details which have never been revealed. Today the case remains controversial. Other investigators have also been unsuccessful in verifying the case or even the identity of Fred Reagan. A few have gone on record with their belief that the case is fictitious." Creato, despite his own misgivings, wrote, "We have heard too much since 1951 to be able simply to dismiss it out of hand. One of the most profound and earliest reported healing cases on record occurred in 1957 in Brazil. Only a few cases exist in which any outside witnesses observed the healing of the patient firsthand. In this case, there were many witnesses. The case remains a classic and its authenticity has never been disputed." Case #022. Stomach cancer. This case was first revealed by Brazilian journalist Joao Martins and UFO investigator Olavo T. Fonts, who was the official medical investigator of UFOs for the Brazilian government. According to the report, the family was very wealthy, and the father was a powerful and influential figure in society. The man's young daughter was suffering from stomach cancer and doctors expected she would die. The daughter's disease progressed quickly. She was suffering intensely on the night a UFO visited the family. What follows is the first-hand testimony of Arzia Maria, who was the family's maid and an eyewitness to the event. It appeared originally in UFO Abduction at Mirassol, published by Vadal C. Stevens of the UFO Photo Archives. It was this letter which first brought the case to the attention of UFO researchers. Dear Senior Martins, I have read your articles and desire to compliment you on them. I believe in the existence of the flying discs because I personally witnessed the incident here related. I don't know if you will believe me, but I assure you that what I am going to tell you is the truth. I am poor but honest. I will not mention the whole names involved, but I am sure you will understand. My name is Arzia Maria. I am 37 years old and actually live in Rio de Janeiro. I have worked in the home of Senior X since December 1957. You must excuse me for not mentioning his name, for he is a wealthy and influential man of this city. The daughter of my employer suffered from cancer of the stomach. She suffered considerably, and I was employed to serve as a sort of governess, and to assist the Senorita Lays, the daughter with cancer. She had been given many and diverse treatments to control the cancer, but the doctors had said there was no hope. In August of 1957, my employer sent the whole family to a small farm near Petropolis, hoping his daughter would improve in the better climate. But the days passed with no improvement. Lays could no longer eat and her suffering was horrible and became worse every day. She was given constant injections of morphine to control the pain. I remember the night of October the 25th very well. We expected her to die as the pains of Senorita Lays were terrible. The injections seemed to have no effect. Her father was singing a verse when suddenly a strong bright light came onto one side and shone directly on the house. We were all in the room of Senorita Lays, whose window was situated exactly on the side of the house from which the light came. The only light inside was a small lamp at the head of the bed. "Look," cried Juliho, a brother of the dying girl, as he ran to the window and saw a disc-shaped machine there in the light. It was not very big, and I am not learned enough to be able to say what its diameters might be or its height. I know that it was not very big. The upper part was enveloped in a luminescence of a yellowish-reddish color. Suddenly, a port automatically opened in the object and two small beings emerged. They came toward the house while a third one remained in the port of the disc. I noticed on the interior of the disc, through the port I could see a green light like can be seen in nightclubs. The humans came into the house. They were short, about 1.20 meters tall, smaller than a younger son of my employer who was 10 years old. They had large heads on top of their shoulders, reddish ears, small slanted eyes, like Chinese, but their skin was a vivid green. They had something on their hands that I thought were gloves. Their suits were white and seemed to be thick. The chest, the sides and the cuffs shined brightly. I do not know how to explain. They came up to the side of Senorita Lays, who moaned in pain, eyes wide open, and not understanding anything that was going on around her. Nobody moved or spoke in the terrible tension. I was there in the room with Senior X and his wife, Senior Juliho and his wife, and Ottavio, the younger son of my employer. Those humans looked at me silently and stood at the side of the bed, placing the instruments they carried on the top of the milky coverlet. They made a gesture toward my employer and one of them placed his hand on the forehead of Senior X and discussed the case of Senorita Lays with a bluish light that showed all of her interior. We saw all there was inside the belly of the girl. With another instrument that emitted a noise, he pointed it in the direction of the stomach of Lays and we could see the cancer. The operation lasted about a half hour. Then Senorita Lays went to sleep and they left. But before leaving the house, they communicated with Senior X telepathically that he would have to give her medicine during 1 month. Then they gave him a sphere made of stainless steel-like metal which contained some 30 small white pills. She was to be given one per day and she would be cured. Lays later returned to her doctor, who verified that her cancer had been cured. I have left that house, but I promised to absolutely guard the secret of this case. Therefore I have told you, but I must guard the true identity. If you mention this case in your articles, it is of no consequence because I have withheld the names of the people involved in this. But I assure you everything I have said is real. Lays was condemned to die of cancer of the stomach and in spite of this she was saved by an instrument that looked like a flashlight, that emitted rays that dissolved the cancer, and she survived. They saved Senorita Lays and the same night returned to their flying machine and were gone. This case is significant for many reasons. First, it was one of the first reported UFO healing cases ever released to the public and therefore could not have been influenced by earlier reports. Second, the incident was witnessed by many people. Third, a patient who was diagnosed with terminal cancer survived as a direct result of the UFO encounter. Another interesting aspect of this case is the physical evidence obtained. There are at least a dozen other cases on record in which people were given medicine by aliens. In a few cases, samples of the medicine were saved for analysis. Probably the most important aspect of this case is the obvious sincerity of the letter. It is a complex encounter, and stands as one of the pioneering cases of UFO healings. 2. Coral and Jim Laws, the founders of the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, APRO, were among the first researchers to recognize the validity of onboard UFO experiences. Not surprisingly, they also uncovered some healing cases. Case #057. Stomach cancer. From the files of APRO comes a healing which occurred on November 6, 1972, in the Dominican Republic. According to the report on the case, during an evangelist church service in Pia, a UFO passed over the house where the service was being held and lit up everything inside, causing everyone to panic. A strange-looking being entered the building, took the pastor by the hand, and reportedly healed a woman of stomach cancer. During the healing, the woman reported a sensation of cold from the alien's touch. Many people who suffer cancer go through a variety of treatments searching for one that will be more effective. Some of these people experience a UFO encounter while undergoing earth treatments in addition to their own homeopathic methods. It's difficult to say where the healing is coming from in cases like these, but the likelihood that the encounter was a factor cannot be discounted. Case #064. Throat cancer. In 1973, 49-year-old factory worker, Denise B. of Marseilles, France, was suffering from a worsening case of throat cancer. She received regular treatments of chemotherapy. Unfortunately, it did little to halt the disease, so she slowly discontinued the treatments. Meanwhile, the cancer got worse. Denise had become partially paralyzed and had no reflex actions left. By 1974, she had stopped all treatments. She still visited the hospital every month. On August 15, 1974, her doctors stated that her cancer was worse and she must return to the hospital on September 15. On the evening of September 14, Denise was taking a walk with her dog. The dog disappeared into some bushes, and Denise followed, dragging her feet because she could barely walk. Suddenly Denise was overcome by a feeling of having her insides all mixed up. Shortly later, she felt strangely tired, and her flashlight stopped working. She then felt something grip her neck. She noticed that her whole body was engulfed in a beam of light coming from above. She was unable to move and felt the beam lift her into the air. Her next memory is of seeing another light near the ground. Then the light disappeared and Denise returned to the road. She noticed that she could walk fine and her legs no longer hurt. She recovered her dog and returned home, thoroughly frightened. The next day she went to the hospital. According to the report on the case, the medical assistant examined her, no more cancer. This was confirmed by another doctor and she was told she could go home. Denise told one of the mystified doctors that it must have been the goat milk she drank that cured her. Today Denise is elderly, healthy and free of cancer. Although she is not religious, she does believe her experience was unusual. As she says, if only this miracle could lead to a cure for cancer. 4. In the following cancer healing encounter, we have another well-verified event, with numerous eyewitnesses, landing traces, doctor reports and a first-hand account of extraordinary detail. Case #068. Pancreatic cancer. Hale Chabo claims to have received multiple cures from ETs and perhaps other sources. Her first miraculous healing took place when she was only 9 years old. At the time, she suffered from tuberculosis of the spine and could only walk with the aid of braces. She went to visit and pray at a Catholic shrine in Quebec, Canada. While there, she felt something like a bolt of electricity strike her, vibrating her body from head to toe. She leaped from her seat and knew instantly that she had been healed. While the healing seemed to be a result of visiting a sacred shrine, Chabo would later be the recipient of at least two additional healings at the hands of ETs. In May of 1974, Hale was diagnosed with cancer of her hip bone. Doctors quickly had the cancer surgically removed. A short time later, a cancerous growth was discovered on her pancreas. The doctors again operated on her and removed most of the cancerous material. Unfortunately, there were unforeseen complications. As Hale says, they were not able to remove all of it, so they just closed me up. A year later, the cancer had spread to Hale's bowels. She went through chemotherapy and lost almost 50 pounds. The treatment did not stop the spread of the cancer, and doctors told her in no uncertain terms that she would die soon, and that she should see her family before it was too late. "I looked like a walking corpse," Hale said. It was May 1975, and the doctors told her she had 1 month left, maybe two. Hale was so weakened by the disease that she was barely able to walk. One evening she was too tired to even eat and just went to bed. At 1:00 a.m. she woke up to hear her name being called. "Hale," said the voice, "get into your car and meet us on the way to Lude. We'll meet you there." Aleut was a small town about 17 miles away. Hulle was unable to resist the impulse to get in her car and go. I was 7 miles out of town when I saw a large white globe in the sky, says Hulle. As though hypnotized, she drove her car to the location and walked up to the object, which was beginning to descend. The object floated to the ground and two small creatures in tight-fitting metallic suits exited the craft. They had small ears, nose and mouth, but their eyes were large and loving. Hulle was quickly taken on board. Inside she smelled ozone and a metallic smell. "Do not be afraid," they told her. "We are here to help you." Although she was frightened, Hulle felt that the aliens were friendly. "We are not going to hurt you, we are here to help you. Would you disrobe and lay on this table?" Hulle felt as if she had no will of her own. She lay down on the table, which looked like plexiglass with a bluish glow inside it. Hulle asked why they were helping her and they replied, "We may need you later on, and besides, we were asked." Next Hulle was examined with a small reddish instrument shaped like an upside-down mushroom. The aliens passed it over her body several times, and told her that she had cancer in her left breast, liver, right kidney, pancreas and spleen. They then began a long and sometimes painful cure. First, an instrument shaped like a metallic tray with a handle on either side of it was passed over her body at least 10 times. Each time the instrument went over a cancerous area, Hulle felt intense heat and excruciating pain. She was able to withstand the torturous operation only because the Earth doctors had already done much worse. After the tray-like instrument, the aliens pulled out a foot-long tube filled with a purplish-colored fog. They took this tube and injected a fluid into Hale's abdomen. A short time later they injected her with another tube and extracted several ounces of dark-colored blood. Hulle was then given several more injections on her abdomen, sides and back. Then more strange instruments were passed over her entire body. Afterward she was told she could get dressed. The aliens showed her a map and explained that they were from a solar system beyond Orion. They told her to take no medication, and that her cancer was completely cured. Hulle exited the craft, drove quickly home and went straight to bed. The next morning, she was still very weak and appeared to be suffering as badly as ever. She told her son about the experience. He was skeptical until they drove to the location and found a large depression in the earth where Hulle remembered the UFO had landed. That afternoon she began vomiting foul-smelling black stuff. She was rushed to the hospital where doctors gathered Hale's family and told them she was about to die. For 2 days Hulle was violently ill and lapsed in and out of consciousness. Doctors offered numerous medications, but Hulle, following the orders of the aliens, refused them all. By the third day, Hulle began to recover. Tests were taken and revealed that all traces of the cancer were gone. As she says, "It was just like I had never been sick." 2 weeks later, Hulle's skin color returned to normal and the doctors had to admit that she was miraculously cured. Her cancer diagnosis and subsequent cure are verified by doctors and by her medical records. Following the event, Hulle remained perfectly healthy and began to manage her own business. She says that when the time is right, she will go public with her experiences. The fact that she has experienced this second healing at the hands of ETs raises interesting questions about her first healing. UFO researcher Lisa writes of the Chabo case, "Who can really say who the perpetrator was?" In 1985, as an adult, Chabo suffered a car accident, breaking some vertebrae in her back. Doctors inserted metal rods to help her heal. Unfortunately, a bone chip resting on her spine aggravated her condition, and doctors were unable to help. 4 years following the accident, in 1989, Chabot had a visitation by extraterrestrials who removed the bone chip and healed her. 5. Another well-verified case of a cancer healing comes from a city councilwoman from Florida, Lynn Plaskett, who long before UFO healings were being talked about bravely went public with her own personal account. She even appeared on the television program Sightings, which televised her case to a national audience. Case #072. Cancer. In 1975, Lynn Plaskett of New Smyrna Beach, Florida was dismayed to be diagnosed with T-cell lymphoma, a malignant cancer. Despite treatment, her cancer worsened. The doctors told her that her case was fatal, and that she had about 3 months to live. Then one evening something strange happened. She was lying in bed, but was still awake. Says Plaskett, "I felt myself lifting straight off the bed, it must have been about 19 inches. Then I saw a silvery disc-shaped object. About 8 inches across. It was hovering beside me. It had tiny windows like portholes, and it made 3 sweeps over my body, as if carefully examining me. I wasn't afraid, just a little surprised. I felt warm and relaxed. Moments later, the object disappeared, the fog dissipated and the buzzing sound became silent. Plaskett felt herself lowered to her bed. I fell into a wonderful sleep, she says, and I knew I was going to be all right. I wasn't going to die. Within days, tests showed my cancer was disappearing and now I'm in total remission. The cancer immediately reversed and within 4 months, all traces of it were gone. Plaskett is convinced that a UFO cured her. It sounds fantastic, but it wasn't from God or this earth. I'm convinced that I was cured by some kind of alien." Interestingly, Plaskett was a city councilwoman, though after revealing her encounter, she was not re-elected. 6. Like the other healings, the cancer cures come from all over the world. The following, from Bogota, Colombia, involves a healing done by Nordic ETs. CAS1E #073. Cancer. In 1975, engineer Juan Osorio was working near Bogota, Colombia when he saw a huge, glowing, disc-shaped craft overhead. Suddenly he found himself being taken on board via a platform made of light. Inside the UFO was a group of tall human-looking men and women wearing shiny silver clothing. Juan felt peace and tranquility as he was taken to another room. Researcher Alberto Rosales writes, "There he was bathed in a soothing red light that appeared to purify him. Later he was asked to remove his clothing and was told to put on a uniform similar to theirs. He was taken into another room, and there a luminous orange-colored rectangle enveloped him. A blue-violet haze encased his head, apparently going through some therapeutic process. Soon after his release by the extraterrestrials, he was diagnosed totally free of cancer, a disease he had suffered from for some time now." 7. Researcher Christopher O'Brien, author of The Mysterious Valley, uncovered the following case during his research into UFO activity in Colorado. Case #085. Ovarian cancer. Barbara Berra, pseudonym, was very sick. She had just been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and was preparing to be treated for the disease. Only 1 week after diagnosis, however, she had a visitation with strange beings she calls the Little Brothers. All her life, Bera was visited by mysterious entities who only came at night to her home in the San Luis Valley, Colorado. The visits started around age 7. She always knew when they came as she would have a bloody nose. Afterward, she was frightened by the visits, but was always reassured and comforted by one of the beings who told her not to be afraid. While the visitations continued, they were always at night, and she had only vague memories. That all changed in 1978 after her cancer diagnosis. She felt restless one evening, and was having trouble sleeping. Suddenly she woke up to find herself lying on a soft table in a white circular room. She was paralyzed, but strangely calm. "You need our help," a voice said. "Can I see you?" she asked. The beings moved around to the front of the table. "There were 4 of them," said Bera, "all identical. They were 3 to 4 feet tall, ivory white, and had large almond-shaped eyes." A 5th taller being appeared and stared into Bera's eyes, telling her not to be afraid. It was the same being from her childhood. Bera next found herself immersed in an L-shaped tank. A long arm-like device came out and inserted itself inside her. "It wasn't painful," said Bera, "but it didn't feel comfortable. I had to relax and trust the voice that kept telling me not to be afraid." The next thing she knew, it was morning. She was exhausted. 4 days later, she went to her doctor and asked for more tests. To the shock of both herself and her doctor, she now appeared to be cancer-free. "They cured me of cancer," says Bera. It wasn't her last encounter. 5 years later, on November the 25th, 1992, Bera, now age 40, felt suddenly compelled to drive 7 miles away from her home. She was confused and couldn't understand what had taken over her. It was now 8:30 p.m. and she realized that she had left her children unattended. The next thing she knew, the inside of her truck was freezing cold. It was now 10:30 p.m. and she was suffering from a nosebleed. She knew instantly what had happened. "I don't remember anything during almost 2 hours in my truck," she says, "but I know it was the little brothers." 8-1 feature of the cancer cases that's different from the others is the onboard experience. While many healings do not involve an onboard experience, most of the cancer cases do. And those that don't usually involve face-to-face contact with entities, possible missing time, or an extremely close interactive encounter with a UFO. Case #088. Bone cancer. Early one evening in the summer of 1979, Miriam and her mother were driving along Highway 2 in Bayamo, Puerto Rico, when a weird darkness descended upon their car, obscuring everything from view. They heard a loud humming noise and felt confused and entranced. The car seemed to float and then became filled with light. The next thing they knew, they were arriving at Arecibo with no idea how they got there. It was 2.5 hours later than they remembered. Years later, Miriam underwent regressive hypnosis. She recalled seeing her mother being pulled up through the roof of the car and into the object. A beam of light then struck Miriam and pulled her up through the roof. She looked back and observed her automobile floating at a tremendous height very close to the object. Once inside, Miriam saw a tall humanoid figure with pale gray skin, a large head, dark eyes and a soft, friendly smile. "Come with me," he said telepathically. "Don't be afraid." They told Miriam that her mother was being cared for and they then took Miriam through the craft, which had curved corridors of a beautiful pearly silver color. She was taken to an examination room where there were many 3.5-foot, grey-skinned beings. Miriam was told that she was there so that they could help her. They examined her, pressing fine, long metallic rods on or in her body, and said that they were giving her an energy reinforcement so as to improve the condition of her organism. They then put clamp-like instruments on her legs, which caused a powerful heat energy to rise up through her body. Next to her, the little grey beings were busy manipulating computer-like machines with lots of little lights. The tall grey being told Miriam that she had bone cancer, and that they were curing her of the condition. They told Miriam that they were also curing her mother. He put an instrument on her forehead and explained that it would deepen her psychic intuition. Miriam saw other human-looking beings aboard the craft. At one point, Miriam felt love and goodness emanating from the being. He warned her of upcoming earth changes. Looking outside, she saw trees, and the being explained to her that they had temporarily landed in the high Swiss Alps. After conversing with the ET, Miriam found herself back in their car. Miriam's mother, Sonia, also underwent hypnosis and recalled being sucked up into the craft, where she was taken into a room and examined by a small grey humanoid. She also saw other types of beings, including human-looking beings. 9. In the following case, a man and his wife experienced a missing time encounter that resulted in a profound healing. Under hypnosis, the whole story emerged, and the witnesses, despite the healing, were not happy with what they recalled. It's one of many cases in which the Grey's bedside manner could use significant improvement. Case #094. Skin cancer. 15 minutes before midnight on November the 19th, 1980, Michael, an art teacher, and his wife, Mary, were driving home from Denver to Longmont, Colorado when they heard a loud swishing sound. At that moment, a bright beam of blue light locked onto their car. The car headlights dimmed, the radio failed, and the car suddenly levitated into the sky. The next thing they knew, they were back on the highway, only it was now 5 minutes before 1:00 a.m. They had lost 1 hour and 10 minutes of time. When they got home, Michael, who had several large melanomas on his legs, found that they were greatly reduced in size and coloration. Mary, who was 2 months pregnant, found an inexplicable rectangular mark on her abdomen. A few months later, she contracted streptococcal pneumonia. The doctors were concerned about the health of her baby, who ended up being born 2 months early, but otherwise healthy and normal. In an effort to discover what happened during the missing time episode, Michael elected to undergo regressive hypnosis, though his wife, due to her illness, postponed any sessions. Under hypnosis, Michael recalled that after being struck by the blue beam of light, the car was drawn up into a domed craft. Once inside, he smelled an electrical odor. Meanwhile, a gray-skinned being with a bald head, narrow chin, and wearing a shiny, gold uniform appeared and led them both into a brightly lit area. The being separated Michael from his wife. Michael was undressed, laid out on a table and physically examined by a floating light. Michael's memories were pulled from his mind, and the beings told him that there are multiple dimensions coexisting with our own. The beings, who communicated via telepathy, returned Michael and Mary to their car, placed the car back on the road, moving at 55 miles per hour, and returned them to full conscious awareness. The investigation, which was being conducted by the J. Allen Hynek Center for UFO Studies, CUFOS, was halted when Michael began to experience psychological conflicts about the event. The case was also investigated by Linda Moltohau and Richard Sigismod. Michael told them that he disliked the aliens who abducted them. Mary agreed and said that they had examined her body in a way that left her enraged. She felt as though she had been violated or raped. 10. The following case is a poignant account of a child being healed of cancer. Many of the cases in this book involve the healing of very young children. Case #110. Cancer. In March the 22nd, 1986, a poor couple was caring for their six-year-old, cancer-stricken daughter in their home in a rural area outside Teocaltiqui, Mexico. On that evening, the couple suddenly found themselves unable to move as a 7-foot-tall humanoid wearing a shiny jumpsuit entered their tiny hut. The figure held out his hand and emitted a green-blue light from his palm. He then picked up the daughter and gently placed her on the kitchen table. For the next 2 hours, the being spoke to the girl in an unknown language. He then placed two glowing metal tubes on either side of her head, next to her temples. 5 minutes later, he removed the instruments. The daughter jumped off the table. She no longer showed any signs of illness. The being then exited their hut and entered a black, bullet-shaped object which was landed next to the house. The case was investigated by researcher Lillian Crowner-Deesge. 11. The main witness in the following case, reported anonymously to UFORK, leaves no doubt how he feels about his encounter with three cloaked beings who saved the life of his young daughter. Case #114. Brain tumor. Jacob, pseudonym, is a medical professional from J, Florida. In 1986, his daughter was very sick from an inoperable, malignant brain tumor. "We were visited late one night by three cloaked beings," writes Jacob. "I awoke to find them standing at the foot of our bed. They were communicating with one another, but making no sounds to me. I thought at first I was still asleep. I could see my daughter lying next to me. When I reached out to touch her, I realized I could not move. All that I was able to move was my eyes. Then they came to the side of our bed, and a piece came to me. The one that was directly to my right shoulder leaned over me to touch my daughter, and all went quiet. The next day," continues Jacob, "my daughter had a massive nosebleed. The clot that came from her nose was so large that it gagged her when we were removing it. A few months later, I took her for a new CT scan. It was one of many past scans. When we arrived at the doctor's office a few days later, he said the brain tumor was gone. He said it looked as though someone had lasered it out. Jacob isn't sure why his daughter was cured, but he knows how he feels about it. She is now cancer-free. Why? We may never know the truth. But one thing is for sure, she is still alive, and now 27 years old. The moral to my story is not one of horror and probes, but one of truth and goodness. If not for those beings' visit, I would be placing fresh flowers on a grave instead of hugging and kissing my most wonderful gift. Thank you, who or whatever you were." 12. In the following case, the witness was undergoing an examination by ETs when they explained to her that her birth control device had damaged her body. They then said they would heal her. Like many people who experience a lifetime of contact, she has had both positive and negative experiences. Her case reveals the ET's intense interest in human reproduction. Case #120. Cervical cancer, infection. Infection. Kate was only 4 years old when she first recalled being visited by ETs at her Michigan farmhouse where she lived with her family. As time went on, she experienced several visitations. At first, she thought the experiences were interesting and pleasant, but as she grew older, she grew afraid. As an adult, she found herself constantly changing her place of residence, always hoping that a move would stop the alien encounters from happening. No matter where she moved, however, they always returned. In July 1987, Kate decided to attend a retreat on an Indian reservation near Reno, Nevada. On the first night of the retreat, she woke up at 1:30 a.m. to go to the bathroom. The only bathroom was an outhouse. As Kate returned to her room, she sensed a familiar presence. Somehow she knew instantly that it was the ETs.